Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The role of men and of women in our society and even in other societies around the world has become a topic of discussion, topic of debate, and a topic of differences in opinion, and even of dissension in recent years. But it is a discussion that has its roots as far back as the Garden of Eden. And though throughout the course of history, the enemy has launched his attacks concerning the role of men and of women, targeting those who are outside of the church, those who are in the world, this battle has found its way among those who are inside of the church as well, among those who belong to Jesus Christ. And in recent years, some in the church have attempted to reinterpret the truth of the Bible in order to conform to the thinking and to the prevailing opinions of the people in our society and in our world. And this has resulted in confusion. It has resulted in division among the people of God. And the church in the city of Corinth, in the time of the Apostle Paul, faced a similar situation. And though some of the issues that they were faced with were cultural, and some of them applied only to them, the principles apply to us today. And so, in order to receive clarification on this issue of the role of men and of women, among other issues they had, the leaders in the church in Corinth wrote a letter to the Apostle Paul, because he was the one who founded that church, and he had spent some time there teaching the people the Word of God, and he had led many of those people to Christ. And in response to their letter, he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians, where he answers those questions that were troubling them. And so he says to them in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Now, I praise you, epaneho in Greek, I continually give thanks to God for you, for your desire to seek the truth in these things, that you remember me, mnesko in Greek, that you value my input. You seek divine wisdom in everything, wisdom and insight that has been given to me by the Lord. And I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that you hold firmly on to the traditions, paradosis in Greek, not so much traditions, but to the teaching, to the instruction of the scriptures, just as I delivered that truth of the word of God to you, paradidomi in Greek. I entrusted that truth into your hands, and I put it in your care so that you might not only rest in the truth and be encouraged by the truth, but that the truth would affect your lives in a positive way, in a godly way. But though you may know the truth, you seem to have difficulty in applying that truth. You seem to have difficulty in living out that truth in your lives. And so, in answer to your question, Paul says in verse 3, I want you to understand these basic principles. These basic principles of design and of order and of authority, which characterize all of creation. This is how the universe has been designed by God. The fact that Christ is the head of every man, kephale in Greek, he is the source of every man. The source. Every man has his origin in him. Aner in Greek, all males, both married and unmarried. All men, both believers and unbelievers, find their beginning. They find their source in God. As we are told in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And so man became a living being. And what was his name? Adam in Hebrew. Adam. But God went further in Genesis chapter 2, and he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. So he said, I will make a helper for him. I will make one who is suitable for him. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And then God performed surgery on him. And he took one of Adam's ribs, and we are told he fashioned a woman from the rib that he had taken from Adam. Bana in Hebrew. He built a woman from that rib. And then he brought that woman to the man, to Adam, and Adam said, now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Isha in Hebrew, a female, his wife, one who would bear their children, his partner for life. Why? Because it says she has been taken out of man, and her name was Eve, Hela in Hebrew, the giver of life. And so Paul says in verse 3, here is the basic principle. The man is the head of the woman. She finds her origin in him. She finds her source in him. This is the divine order of things. This is the plan of God. And in the same way, he adds, God the Father is the head of Christ, the Messiah, who was born into this world through the power of the Holy Spirit. And though the Christ was God, while he was here on his earth, Jesus Christ lovingly and willingly submitted himself to the will of his Father in heaven to accomplish the plan of our salvation. And without his obedience to his Father, we could not have been saved. This was the plan of God. And so, in the same way, men and women are to maintain the divine plan of order and of obedience in this world. And Paul points out that this applies to us as well as we worship together. Now, in the time of Paul, this order was expressed among the people in several cultures, by the symbol of a veil. a head covering, a veil that women wore on their head. And in the church in Corinth, a woman who was married or a woman who was unmarried would wear this veil to express her devotion and her commitment to the divine plan of God since she was a woman. And today, despite the influence and despite the pressure of the thinking of this world, there are still women who submit themselves to the will of God for their lives, but not necessarily with a veil. Not necessarily with a head covering. And in the church in the city of Corinth, as well as in the church today, what is proper for a woman to do? And what is proper for a man to do? Are in some cases two different things, aren't they? There is still to be divine order according to the plan of God. And so Paul points out in verse 4, to those in the city of Corinth, every man who has a veil on his head while he is praying in the church, while he is publicly speaking to God, or while he is prophesying, while he is publicly speaking to the people about God, disgraces his head, kataskuno in Greek. He puts himself to shame. And every woman in Corinth, in the church, who has her head uncovered while she is publicly praying or while she is prophesying, disgraces her head. And in Corinth, a woman without a veil was a sign that she was out of order. For she is one and the same, Paul says in verse 5, with her whose head is shaved. And that was a disgrace for any woman back then. For if a woman does not cover her head, then let her also have her hair cut off. And in that day, only prostitutes, only adulteresses, and women, only women who were in rebellion against God, against the divine order of God, cut their hair short. They would cut off their hair to express their rebellion. But, Paul says, if it is disgraceful, askros in Greek, if it is improper for a woman to have her hair cut off or to have her head shaved, and it was, then let her cover her head. This was the custom at that time. It was a sign of her submission to the divine plan, to the divine order of God. For a man, Paul says in verse 7, ought not to have his head covered with a veil. Why? Since he is the image, icon in Greek, the representation and the glory, the doxa, the majesty of God. Remember what we said? God formed that man from the dust of the ground and gave him dominion over the earth. But the woman is the glory and the majesty of man. Why? Because man did not originate from the woman. She is not the source of man, but the woman originated from man. She was taken from him back in the Garden of Eden. For indeed, Paul says in verse 9, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the reason that woman was created was for the man's sake, to become a partner with him in marriage. And so it says in Ephesians chapter 5 that wives are to place themselves under the authority and under the protection of their husband as unto the Lord. And husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands are to love their wives as they love their own bodies, nourishing and cherishing and honoring her. This is to be the balance in the relationship between a man and a woman, according to the plan of God. Therefore, Paul says, here's what I say to you in Corinth, verse 10. The woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, exousia in Greek, a symbol of jurisdiction, a symbol of obligation, a picture of that order between men and women, an order that has been designed by God. It was a visualization of that order. Why? Paul surprisingly says in verse 10, because of the angels. Why the angels? As the angels who are under the authority of God, the angels who cover their faces in the presence of God, as they observe our worship, and as they protect us in our worship together, what do they see? Do the angels see order in the church? Is that what they see today? Do they see the glory of God reflected in the church? Remember, Paul adds and reminds us in verse 11, in the Lord, men are not of greater worth than women. We may have different functions. We may have different assignments, but we are to equally support one another in our relationship with each other and in the work of the Lord. Because neither is the woman independent of the man, nor is the man independent of the woman. Horos in Greek. We are dependent upon one another. We are intertwined with each other. For just as the woman originated from the man in the Garden of Eden, so also since that day, the man has had his birth through the woman. A unique opportunity for her to influence her children for Christ, both male and female, by her godly life. And in the end, Paul says, all things originate from God. He is the source of all things. So, to the people in the church in Corinth, Paul says this in verse 13. You judge for yourselves. Krino in Greek. After all that I have said to you, what do you think? You make the decision. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that a man, if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? Atemia in Greek, it degrades him. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. Because of hormonal differences in men and women, women retain their hair longer, and so they can grow it longer. We may lose our hair, but her hair has been given to her for a covering. But Paul adds in verse 16, if anyone in the church in Corinth, any one of you, is inclined to be contentious and to argue about these things, we have no other practice. There is no other perspective among us and among the churches of God. So, what is the bottom line for us? Bottom line is this. It is not so much about head coverings. It is not so much about hair. But the principle is this. Everything should be done in an orderly way. It should be done in a godly way, and it should be done in a biblical way. And this is what we believe will bring honor and glory to the Lord. As we are reminded in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, even the clothes that we wear, the clothes of men and of women, are to be distinct and they are to be well defined. And when we blur those lines, as we do today in many ways, it says that is an abomination to the Lord. Tovah in Hebrew. It is detestable to him. So in the world in which we live, in the end, all that we do in our relationships with each other as men and women of God, the desire of our hearts should be to bring honor and glory to his name, to the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.